in verses 22 and 24. Now, okay, I have to aim it. Okay, now, here you have an addition that needs to be made. On that first paragraph at the top of the page, I have this verse. It says, where does it start? Oh, I just ran right after Genesis 5:22. It says, these are the generations of Noah, and that's what I have up here. And, wait a minute, that's not right. Oh, I see what I didn't do right. Okay, just a sec. I got to get oriented. Okay, I was spastic. Okay, this is where we are. And it's, this is the verse you need. Third line up, it says, these are the generations of Noah, and when Noah was a righteous and complete or perfect in all his generations, and Noah walked with God. And so what I did up here, I put in the Hebrew, it's the preposition. See, I just about did that on that. And so he walked with Ha-Elohim, Mother Ithbaal, in that case. And so he walked in company. And like I said earlier, if I'd have gone to walk with you after dinner or whatever, that's the kind of relationship. I wouldn't have a soon relationship with you except in the realm of spiritual things in this matter. Now there, Troy. And so you need to put Genesis 6:9 back on that. It's not in your notes, so fill right the place in. Right after walk with God in highlights, put in Genesis 6:9. Okay? That's what you want to put in there. I just left the address off. I left two addresses off in here. I must have really been rummy when I was doing this on it. Okay. So that's the F preposition. I've got some other citations. God was with Ishmael. You have the F. Haggai uses it. I'm with you. There's a verbalist clause. That's what we were doing. Blessed is the name. The next preposition is, that eem we touched. Push the right button. There we go. Now, when I talk about eem, I say there are a little bit more than 2,000 occurrences of these two forms. Well, there's a compound, and that's what we have here. The first two letters are eem, and then you have this add-on, which is translated in the same way. There's a crazy little contraction here. So we're dealing with the eem. So Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, if Elohim will be with me and will keep me in this way I go and give me food to eat and raiment to put on, what is he going to do? This is the way you cut a deal. He says, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, or Jehovah be my God. You just give me this stuff, and then I'll let you be my God. You give me all of this stuff, and then you can be my God. I'll let you do that. Then, let's see how magnanimous he is. And he says, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. God's house, Bethel. Bethel? Bethel. So you have the God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth to you, the tenth to you. You give me all of this, and I'm going to be so magnanimous, I am going to give you 10% of what you give to me. I don't know. I always said Jacob was a winner and dealer. Yeah. And, you know, we never, ever have seen this. I mean, there's no indication in Scripture anywhere that he ever gave anything to God, let alone 10%. Now, this is one of those tithe passages, and there's obviously some significance here. Some people say, you know, that Jacob tithed, and he wasn't under law, but his sons became that, and so the tithe business. They're one of the legislate the 10%, which is legalism. And so I couldn't resist that one. The passage is up here, And that's in your notes. You need to fill that one in. And that's about halfway down toward the end. It says, Jacob made an altar right in front of that. You want to put Genesis 28, 20 through 22 as the right verse. Okay, so I didn't put the verse in on two spots here. So I will surely give the attempt unto thee, put Genesis 28, 20 through 22. Okay, so on page 10. Yeah, we're on page 10. And it's the bottom full paragraph, kind of like dead center, a little bit to the right. So I missed two verses, and save you having to look it up in a decent Google on that. So, okay, next passage I want to look at is, and I'm at the end of that very paragraph. During Israel's 40 years, Jehovah had been with them, and the manifested in the pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And so they were in the 40 years of wandering. Remember, they were out wandering around in the desert or the wilderness. God took care of them. He didn't let their sandals wear out. You know, what shoe company? Florsheim would have loved it if you could have shoes that last for 40 years. And you get worn out. You know, and their garments? I didn't know what Nike would do. They'd figure out some way around it so they could sell them again. On it, but you know that I mean they didn't wear out, and God fed them. What is it? Well, that's what He fed them. What is it? Manna. That's what it means. What is it? They can figure it out. And so, anyway, I've got to get out of these interesting, fun things on it. So, but here you have. God has, well, here, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, in all the works of thy hand, he knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness, these 40 years, the Lord thy God with you. I skipped the italics. With you. But he was in their company. But what, how many of them, stuck their finger in the pillar of fire? No, they were present, but they didn't get near it. Even the priests that were involved in the cloud, they may have gotten under the cloud as they're related to the sun, but they had no access to Jehovah. He was with them. It's nothing like what we have, and we'll see that as we move along. We now move to page 11. And it's not Christmas time, but it's time to talk about Emmanuel. Because it fits here perfectly. That is, you have it in your notes, I don't have it up here. There should be a dot right under that I in. It's Emmanuel. There's AL, that's the short form of God, and then with us, the new is the first comma plural ending. So God is with us. That's a verbal clause. I didn't intend to do what we did by picking blessed is the name. But verbal clauses in both Greek and Hebrew shouldn't have subjunctives. That is the maybe, the be. It's rather is in this indicative mood. And so that's Isaiah 7:14. Boy, did I have fun with that. You wouldn't have noticed. I haven't. That's an Arial font versus my New Times Roman. Then on down again in Isaiah 8:8, it says, he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. See, with us is God. So there is with us, but see again, it's not that, I mean, it's nothing as intimate as it is for a Christian. Not even near. Not even near. Oh, I had another Emmanuel up here. Okay, 8:10. It's time out. There's 8:10. These buttons are too touchy. Okay. In Isaiah 8:10, it says, take counsel together and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Notice what they did? They didn't translate Emmanuel. You look at this, it's the same thing. The only thing that's any different is they put a hatephatha, an odd vowel pointing on it. With us is God. And that's in 10. But you see, they did it right here in the AV when they put is instead of T. It makes no sense to put a B in there like they do in a lot of places. So he was with them in a different way. And that's what made was very, very important when we understand it. Now, Brown Driver and Briggs, and I've got some technical stuff in here, and I'm going to sail. I might even just leap over it. But I have to go through these slides since they're there. And that is, Brown Driver and Briggs is a Hebrew lexicon. It's a bigger lexicon. It's a modification of Cassinius' lexicon. Mine is about that big, that thick. And this is what he says about that preposition. F expresses closer association than im. Hence, while me'im, that is from with, states, okay, denotes hardly more than from the surroundings or belongings of, the me'im expresses close proximity. Well, there's a difference in some closeness according to BDB. Nothing like the soon preposition in Greek. And so it becomes, I mean, it's important when we catch that. And so that's the citation on page 11 and number 3. Now, I want to talk occurrences. We're going to try to sail down through this. This leads me over to page 12. Soon occurs 128 times in 124 verses. That means that it occurs twice in 4 verses. And the rest of them are individual verses in which they occur. So 128 times, it's in the instrumental case. So it's soon. Dana and Mundy describe it this way. With the instrumental case, together with, or with, and then he goes on and says, it is used almost exclusively with persons and implies, okay, close fellowship. Close fellowship or cooperation. And when you see the cooperation, co is like soon. It's a with. That's like com in the prefix. And that. So you can kind of get us, I mean, I'm throwing these at you as we go on, giving you lexical definitions on the second paragraph in page 12. I'm not going to read them. Then on the bottom of 12, I have a note, I mean, the, translations of soon and how it works. It's found in 15 New Testament books. And I think I even have that in the paper. I do. It's wrong though. It says 16 and it's 15. And the bottom of the chart on the next page, page 13, the bottom of the chart says 16 New Testament books. It's really 15. Prominent in Luke's writings of all things, outside of Paul. And so you have Luke 24. This is just a preposition by itself. And it's just, I mean, it's talking about life in general. It's found in Paul 38 times. It's really odd in that he's not found so much like in Peter and some of these other places. Thus giving us a hint that it becomes very important. Meta, on the other hand, and this takes us down to that letter B on page 13. Meta is found 473 times in 441 verses. If when it's found in the genitive form, the object of the preposition is in the genitive. It's found 371 times. It's translated with in 23 of 27 books in the New Testament. So that's pretty prominent. I mean, it happens all over the place. And there's a wide variety of the ways it's used, but it's not used of your position in Christ. It doesn't tie there. That's not the kind of with that we have. When meta is found with the accusative, it's found 102 times. It's translated after 12 to 27 books on that. So you can get some sense with it. Now let's see next page. I'm thinking I know these things, but I'm not finding what I want. Okay, on page 14, I give you a chart with compilation of data. So you can see it's number of occurrences, number of books, which books, and how it's translated. Now, I footnoted this on right along. I've given you sources. A real handy tool is J.B. Smith's English Greek Concordance, because it's charts. And I like his chart, so I made my chart on that, because it's really handy to know where they are. And so anyway, you can look them up if you happen to have access to that tool. If you look up an Englishman's Greek Concordance, it will drive you insane, because you have to count forever and the print's not big enough. Which item is the reason I do mine in 12 points instead of in any other point font on my papers. I get older, I just assume I'd be able to read them myself, let alone force it on you to go a little smaller on it. I'm being selfish, I know. Okay, matter with the accusative. Why in the world? Okay, I've got a chart with the accusative on page 15. Correction on that chart, revelation center column. I have 61, it's really 11. Just 50 different on it. But if you want to, I mean, that'll correct it. That way it will add up right. And that's the way it is. And you can see how most of the time it's afterwards. You got one occurrence and actually one or two attempts. Afterward makes sense. But anyway, you can kind of see that there. Now, next round. When I talk about composite forms, you may not know what I'm talking about. It's a term that I learned in studying the languages. And it's more, to me, it's more a technical, specific linguistic term, but it means compound. In high school, I learned in English we have compounds. When I got into seminary and working Greek and Hebrew, I learned composite, and more so in Greek. And so that's why, and so I use that term. So you think compound, that means there are at least two words together to make a word. Compounds, you can have, composite forms can have three, four. We'll probably scan over one that uses meta and echo and soon together in a verb, which is kind of an interesting thing. And so the evidence of this composition is where I want to be. And so I've tried to overview this with us so you can see it with your eye gate. Composite, com, together, ponere, is to put or place. That goes through the Latin. Compound is, again, com, together, plus pondere, which is to arrange or direct. They're not too different. These are from the same core on it. So they're saying much the same thing. And so to combine by mixing two or more parts. So we talk about compound. I always smile when I think back. When I first got acquainted with the doctor I had for years, I wanted a doctor that could diagnose very well and a good GP. And I got several recommendations and ended up with the doctor I had. And one day, he wanted to give me a particular compound to deal with a problem which countered another problem. In other words, he didn't want me to have too much sodium, so he wanted to substitute with another chemical, so it would still, it wasn't an antacid, but it was kind of like that. And he just shook his head. He said, they don't compound things in the drug business anymore. He wanted an old pharmacist that would go and compound it and get what I wanted, and or what he wanted. And it was, I mean, it was for my health. And I don't know, I ended up with something else that didn't have what he wanted in it. But when he talked about it, I thought, he was so unhappy with this thing of people who couldn't compound in that matter. Soon, I put the quote up here. It's in your notes on...
I told you, I'm trying to keep up with my pages. Moulton is on page 16 under letter A. And there we are. And it's foot. If you want the footnote number, it's 27. So you can look up line 27. Moulton is a handy little grammar. It's an advanced Hebrew. It's an advanced Greek grammar. There are four volumes in Moulton. Volume 2 is a volume on accidents. And this is what he said about it. When I was in my last years of seminary, I got well acquainted with Moulton. And I decided he was a pretty nice grammar to have on it. I got the first volume was called Prolegomena. And the Prolegomena volume was, I thought, you know, just an introduction. Man, that is a treasure. There's so much great grammatical information in it. And it took me fourth or fifth year in seminary to understand that. Anyway, so much for my commercial on Moulton. But he said, the proper meaning of soon being together, it is capable, like synonymous Latin com, as I had earlier, of making pure perfectives under which heading we may class about 24 of 123 soon compounds in the New Testament. The rest can say soon with or various shades of meaning included under together. But it's kind of interesting he's identifying 123 composite forms, is all I'm saying. I mean, it's reasons up here. I carry on with it. The noun compounds of soon act very much as a verbal. There are 18 words and groups in the New Testament closely connected with words found there. So it's just, I mean, again, it's some data. I think when we research in scripture, we need to be aware of data. Does it give, I mean, just knowing the data sometimes will give you some sense. That's why I say this preposition occurs in this many books. But I look at the books and those charts and I know exactly what, I mean, especially I'm working on. And that helps. Okay. Meta forms, and I'm trying my best to get this hurried. And when I do, I get befuddled. I'm on page 17, letter B. And this quote is there again from Moulton, and I'm pulling his data. That is, meta forms 21 verb compounds in the New Testament. It is funny, soon occurs far more in composite form than does meta. And so it's just, I mean, it really tells us a little bit about it if you think hard about it. Of these 16 have the idea of change. And so, okay, I'll come back. Answering often to the Latin compounds trans. Okay? You know that verse that says, be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewedness of your mind. Transformed is metamorpho. You're the meta in the, and so this trans idea is there. And that matter. Now there are 16 noun compounds with meta are found. Of these 11 derivatives of verbs are included above. Okay, that was his statement. So, I mean, it's an important word. I had so much fun with metamorpho when I was doing, you have suske metizo and you have metamorpho. So you have right in the same two verses in Romans 12, two composite forms with different verbs, which is important. I don't think I ever heard anybody tell me that back when I was young when they were preaching Romans 12, 1 and 2 all the time. They just didn't understand the difference between a little simple prepositional prefix on it. Grammar. Let's see. Let's go this way. Okay. I'm standing here thinking, do I want to just throw everything on the floor and then reassemble it or... Be neat. Anyway, and so I'm going to come right back to the composite forms. Soon with the instrumental on page 18, meta with the with their cases. I've touched them. I'm not going to come through with it. But the compounds is on page 18. We get down to B
I'm on page 19 now, and I'm on the third paragraph. That is, Chamberlain is the name at the beginning. I have Chamberlain's quotation. And so with Chamberlain's quote, there are 141 composite words listed in the lexicons. That is 123 soon verbs and 18 soon nouns. They do overlap. And then here's what he has to say, which is interesting. The associative idea is expressed in 99 of these compounds. A study of the soon compounds in Paul is very fruitful experience. That's where we're at. You want fruit? That's a way to learn this, and these passages are in your notes. We'll get them. There are various shades of the idea with, all starting from the idea of together. It's together. And I'm going to use the term identifiable together is what is involved here. Now, on the bottom of the page, let me get my switch. It starts out with this phrase. I take it right out of the paper. It says, of the 141 soon composite words in the New Testament, 28 of them directly relate to in Christ truth. In a number of instances, there are 55 references to relationships in the body of Christ, and I put parentheses, the 28 words occur 205 times, and of these, 55 verses relate to being together in Christ. In addition, of the 125 occurrences of soon, 7 are referring to being in Christ. And so you have a lot of material that ties, and that last line, if you can't attach it, I'm talking about soon standing by itself. There is a huge amount of revelation of being together in Christ. And it kind of gives me the idea that maybe it was important to the divine author when he puts that many occurrences in there. And that becomes very, very important. Now I'm gonna just almost flip through these. These are out of your notes. This is the second full paragraph on page 20. This next one, I'm not going to read it. Therefore, it'd be fun. I've crossed a couple of these already. The second one is prefixed with two prepositions, and that is metamorpho. I just mentioned out of Romans 12:2. And so you have this. I mean, and so you have morphology. Does that ring any bells? Morphe is the word form. Form, the form. And, you know, it was used in Philippians 2, being in the form, Christ, in reference to Christ in that place, in that passage. Then I put this in. I would love to spend all this time on it. Dale didn't get there. No, I'm not going to get there, unfortunately. And that is this whole concept, the Christian life reference in 3:18 of 2 Corinthians. And I don't like the way it's translated, changed. And I've translated it different in my translation. It's in your notes this way. I didn't say it was my translation. But anyway, yeah, there it is. It says my translation. But we all of person, literally his face, having been unveiled, mirroring out the glory of the Lord, are being made to give an outward manifestation of our inward nature. That's metamorpho. I mean, yes, our morphological form. With reference to the same image from glory to glory as of the Spirit of the Lord. But this is out of the paper. I can slide through some of that because I know the time is going to catch me before I know it. The same root. This is the one I wanted to mention on the way through. No, it is. Third root, which is prefixed with the two prepositions, there we go, is echo, which means to have. Med echo, here's 8 times, means to share in. And here's soon echo. So you have med echo, you have that met in front and soon here. Occurs 12 times in the New Testament, means to hold together confined. But it's interesting, there's similarity, but the soon is more intimate. More intimate. In that matter. and I did this. Okay. This is a value to you. I think it should be. And this is, turning that off. Oops. I'm still trying to keep up with the pages. Okay. I'm on page 21, paragraph 3. Four and five, I'm reflecting those here. Webster is not Noah. It's William Webster. And I have the footnote in here so you can see, that grammar and the syntax, I mean, the synonym section is one of my favorites. And, God put that in my hands. Because who goes and finds a book printed in 1864 that has good grammar in it and good synonym. And I have him in here. I got that from England and I got it almost in pieces. I don't let anybody touch the original. I just have my photocopy of it. But anyway, this is what he says. He does this. I have enjoyed what he's done for me. He makes good distinctions between my Kaiteo and, Eritau, in the words for asking communication, asking is equal, asking is such a greater. Anyway, that's not important here. Soon implies coherence, a closer conjugation than meta, conjunction, coexistence, as in English, which differs, from amid and among. Thayer says, soon is, I had to put that in, a fellowship far closer and more intimate than that expressed by meta. These are some lexical mentions of the fact that soon is very different, even in, and they don't say it in here, even in classical Greek and in modern Greek. To some extent, classic Greek especially. Modern Greek, they don't seem to know it. Kruger, this is a footnote in Thayer. There's soon. Soontina denotes rather coherence. Metatinos, rather coexistence. Coexistence and this matter of coherence. Difference between close and not close. And where we're at. And now that's all information off of page 21 and the paragraphs, the first two begin with soon and the third paragraph is Kroger citation. Now we're at a point where we're at some moving more toward important things. This has all been background. It's not in the introduction. We're on Roman number 7 on page 22. Talking about composite forms and working with composite forms. And so this is giving us an overview that we've already touched. And I wanted to emphasize this by saying it again. You have with compound forms, occurs 173 times in over 900 verses. That's soon. Meta, 32 composite forms, 21 verbs, 11 nouns. In the Greek text, 190 verses. And I make this note in here. It says there are only indirect references dating Christ's truth. And they're very indirect. And so when you see soon, it becomes, it doesn't always relate to Christ's truth. Context tells you whether it does or not. And that's where what happens. Oops, there we go. That's kind of rewritten. But what I want to say here is the most important of these words that describes a relationship that relates to being in Christ with the head, Christ the head and the church, which are the members of the body. And so that is on, where is that quote? Next page, 23. No, it's not on. Oh, I don't find it all of a sudden. I have to look at my other notes. I have all of my 22, 20. Sorry. I'm lost. No, I know where I am, but I'm trying to figure out what's going on up there. Okay, which page is that on? It should be on 22. Is it on 23? There it is. There it is. I didn't mark it. That's why I didn't see it. Top of 2023. Now, all I'm doing that is so you can kind of keep up with where I'm running on it. With that. So it's kind of, I mean, it's interesting. Like I said, I took a lot of these right out of the paper. Isolation of assumed composites. And, that leads me down to the bottom of page, 23. It says, for these reasons, the last section of this paper will focus on the soon preposition and its implications for present tense salvation. I am presently in a sermon series in 2016 on this identifiable togetherness or intimate togetherness that Christians share positionally in Christ. And we're running, it's a survey. I don't know how long I'll be on it. I said I was trying to try to do a message with one each step, and I just got through a segment that had, I think, 5 messages. On being seated. I was concerned that people didn't understand some things, and I'm so used to talking in one way, and I do it in the classroom, that I'm afraid sometimes people don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, like imputation is a word that a lot of people don't really understand. And I realized I was sending my notes out on Saturday night, and I realized I'm sending them to people that hadn't been on or been involved with that, and I wasn't sure they understood what I meant when I said imputation, so I did 2 messages on imputation. When you talk about the right hand, I did a message on the right hand. I did a message on being seated. It's nice to be seated at the right hand rather than to have to stand at the right hand. There's only one place where anybody was standing at the right hand, and that was Jesus Christ was standing as the right hand when Stephen was stoned. And you start thinking about that. It's just beautiful, beautiful truth. And to be identified there. And many of you have heard me say, if we didn't talk much together, if somebody asks me to pray for them, you know what I tend to say? I say, I'll meet you at the right hand. That means I might share, but you better be sharing and you're going to be there with me on it, because I like that intimacy. I mean, it's special. I can't do that with an unbeliever, but it's special in that matter. So anyway, let's get into some more doctrinal material. Page 24, and now, why did that do that? Yeah, okay, that's what I wanted. Another graphic. Together, together, together. We are intimately together with one another. We are intimately together with Christ. And when you think of soons, I hope after we spend the next few minutes finishing this out, I hope that you will be thinking in terms of the fact you relate to Jesus Christ in a special way because you're together with him. I think the first stage of people understanding soon at all is I do this with you. You and I share the same benefit. But why is it that I'm together with him? That's more important than my relationship to you. Because if I understand my relationship to him, I understand your relationship to him. And that relates to my relationship to you. But if I'm not filtering it through that direction, I'm going to have nothing but difficulty because I become very earthbound in the way I look at things. And that's what we don't want to do we? I mean, our frame of mind is supposed to be in the right hand. And if our mind is there looking at him, first of all, and that's where the emphasis of this is going to be. Anytime you see these soons that are all on those charts in the back of this paper in the appendices, whenever you see those and you start thinking, don't think, look what I've got with you. Think this is what I've got with him. That's where the difference is. I would have none of it if he wasn't the head. And God the Father doesn't count me as being there. I'm ready to preach. I guess I better not preach. I'm on the bottom of 24. And the soon preposition alone. And I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time with the soon alone. 8 of the 125 occurrences of that. When I say alone, I mean it soon is sitting there looking like that. No letters afterwards except a space. So it's all by its lonesome on it. And there are, somebody didn't make that Greek. There are eight of them. When Christ died, you died. That's great. Because you could never have died the death he died for your sins, or for your sin nature, or for your Adamic sin guilt. You could not do that. But he could. And so when you're soon, you're together when he died, I came so close to putting so much scripture in here, and I knew I couldn't do it, so I didn't put it in on it. And where are I? I'm over, well, I'm on the list. The list begins on 25, the list of those items. And you have translations there with it, in this passage. Now, what I'm doing in here, and I'm not going to explain it so much until I get to composite forms, but I'm giving you a translation, and I give you my translation. I really kind of prefer to do that if I can. It's better when I get to composites. And so it says, now since we are dead together with Christ, we believe we shall also live together with him soon. In Romans 6:8. So you have that. We have been made alive or given life together with Christ. And that second, look at all of these things that talks about being given life. Those passages there. He died physically, literally, absolutely. And before he could raise, he had to have life. One of the words for resurrection is agairo. And it has the idea of somebody's awakened up. I mean, he woke up. Anistemi is a word that means to stand again on it. But this, I mean, there's life given. So he came to life probably in a split second to be raised. And here we shared it. When he received his resurrection life in that tomb outside of Jerusalem or in Jerusalem, when that happened, you receive that life. And you know now, if you understand that, you know that you have resurrection life like he had. And that guarantees that you're going to be where he is right now. Resurrection life confirms it. And so when we think in those terms, Christians will be raised and presented together with Christ. Boy, these are all great preaching subjects. We'll be raised and presented. The stages of the rapture. I kind of miss some of the classes I've taught over the years. I've taught a lot of classes. I never thought I would be teaching as much as I have. And probably one of my favorite Bible analysis classes until I started teaching a few others. I started teaching Hebrews on having a class. Every time I teach Hebrews now, I found out why God wanted me to teach Hebrew. As long as he did before I taught the book of Hebrews, because it just provided me a huge background that I wouldn't have had he ever gone away and started teaching it. Taught the book when I went first in the ministry. In 1 Thessalonians, you have the description at the end of the third chapter of the presentation of the church as the stage of the rapture. We'll be caught up and we're taken to the Father's house and we're presented to the Father. Oh, can I say it again? I can hardly wait for that very idea. And then, with Christ, the Father will freely give us all things together with Christ. Romans 8:32. And I don't have time to really get that. Just a sec, I need to look at where I are. Okay, I have 5 minutes. So I can work it to a corner. Okay, so you have these things listed on page 25 and on 26. And the last one is on the bottom, number 4 on the bottom of 26. Now, I said there were that many, there are duplicates of concepts in these passages. Okay. We have better benefits. Now, I made this quote, statement. Law believers also had good benefits, even though they were a penalty for their unbelief. Never forget that the law was a penalty for their presumption of Sinai. That was unbelief. God says, believe, guard my covenant. And that she's talking about Abrahamic in 15 of Genesis. You protect my covenant. Just believe me and I'll carry on eagle's wings and you'll become a kingdom of priests and all of this. And so what do they say? We want to do something to get that. And they were just a bunch of smart alecks. They thought they could do something to please God, and that is law. They laid down the gauntlet, and he said, okay, just to start with the 10 words, the 10 commandments. And when you see that problem with them, and I mean, it was good for them in a sense. Nobody in the whole world at that time had the benefits that Israel did. And it was a penalty. I hope you understood what I just said on that. But they could not approach the better benefits provided to the Christian in Christ. Couldn't get near. I don't care who your favorite Old Testament saint is. The most righteous saint you can imagine. Hezekiah. Josiah. You can think of some. Even on before law with Abraham. I think when I look at everything of all of these Old Testament characters, I think Hezekiah is one of the more righteous of the lot, and he was not always that righteous. I like that little narrative section in the middle of Isaiah, because it's easy to remember in that matter. And so they just couldn't get near. The composite forms of sin provide unanimous evidence that the benefits for the dispensation of grace believers are far better than anything else in previous human history. Now, don't get your nose up in the air and get proud and snooty, because God did it, and it's pure grace. And it is better, but don't you go around like some kid says, my bicycle's better than yours. You appreciate that grace, but don't be, some of these people are trying to live by law. You can confront them and relate to them, but be careful. I've heard people say, oh, the law is just rotten. No, it was good if you were a Jew. But for a saint, it's no good. A Christian. A New Testament saint. And so that's and important. The procedure with the composite student forms. This is where I want to go, and we'll be back and work through some of these. But this section will cover 28 composite forms. Now, not all of them are very specific. There are about three of them that are marginal. I almost didn't put them in. But I'm honest enough to pull things that have enough similarity that I will put them in. It's like, how do you like the idea of sun doulos? That is a fellow or together slave. How in the world could Christ be a slave? Well, you need to read a little bit of Philippians, you'll find out on that. And we share in an interesting way there. But you got to look at him first before you start looking at who you are on it. That's coming. On that. And so we're going to look at these forms and we're going to break them in these two. And if we learn anything at all from this time I've spent, I hope that this little section here is what makes the difference. I've already touched it. That is, you've got to realize that together with Jesus Christ to the head, you share in something so unique and so special. And that's why I say you've got to think of him first. It's not normal. We are anthropocentric. That means we're man-centered. And we don't want to look at that. So, we want to know what we get. But what he has is what we get. So isn't it better to look at what he has before we look at what we have in him? Am I making sense? I'm trying. to make some sense, because we have to have our attention in that direction. And then it goes to with other Christians in the body of Christ. Sometimes it's really interesting when you have other believers. If I didn't know that Scripture teaches that it's pretty easy for a carnal believer to look worse than an unbeliever, there'd be times I would wonder if some people profess to be believers are or not. I'm always glad I know who knows. You know, in all of these things, he knows it all. And I'm really glad for that. And so then we can go here and relate. You know, that will give you, I'm going to just use a quick off illustration here, and that is, you die to your sin nature. Christ died, he took it as your substitute, your sin nature, and when he died, he carried that, and he didn't become a sinner, but he was able to be the perfect sacrifice for sin so that a sacrifice could be offered. And so he bore your sin nature, and then when you look at one another and you see a carnal Christian, I hope it changes your perspective. You look at a carnal Christian, and what should you say? You died in the person of your substitute for that sin nature. Why are you living there? But be careful. Know what I'm doing? That's three fingers. They're pointing back. You know. And that's what I mean. And so that should remind us. You see somebody carnal, we should make sure our garden is weeded, not theirs, in that matter. And so that becomes really important. And that's what I want to emphasize. This is different than what I'm doing in Sunday morning. It's different in that matter. And then the plan is to make suggestions concerning the two elements and identifiable togetherness with each compound. That's where I want to go. Just to get you to thinking, I would be nice if we had about two extra verses for every one of these headings to make it easier to understand. I mean, it'd be nice to, you know, God give us some application. Thank the Lord, the writer of Scripture is the one who teaches us. And when he does it, then we shouldn't have any problem. So, let's see, where am I so I can tell you where we're going to come back to? Just a sec. Too many transparencies. Okay, that's where we are. Number 51. Do you believe we've gone through 51 transparencies already? Okay, page 27, and we're down on number 1. Okay, so take a break, and we will come back in 15 minutes. Great.